friends. Welcome to this special episode on treating the coronavirus with Chinese medicine. Jin Zhao is a doctor and a teacher in Chengdu. He's from a family of herbalists, and he has a background in Chinese medicine history. Plus, he's an expert on being able to work with the various schools of thought, which comes in pretty handy when you see something unusual, like the coronavirus. I apologize for the sound quality of this episode. It's due to the constraints of not being able to get a connection from within China to my usual recording service. And so this conversation was recorded via the phone app WeChat. Not the greatest audio here, but please bear with it, as the content and Jin Zhao's perspective is indeed worthwhile. These conversations come to you through the generous support of our sponsors and members. All the sponsors here provide helpful products or services that you'll find beneficial in your clinical work. Worried that an EMR is too complex for you? Jane has friendly and knowledgeable support. Meiwei Herbs is celebrating the 55th year of their family business. You're invited to make use of their vast library of resources. Are you concerned about the health of Mother Earth? AccuFast Needles is doing something about that. You can too. And later in the show, Ancestral Sturman offers up a sinew treatment, and the folks at Blue Poppy have something special to share as well. Do be sure to visit the sponsors page on the Geological website to take advantage of all the special offers our terrific sponsors have for listeners of the podcast.
Hi folks, I'm Yvonne Lau, president of Meiwei Herbs. Our family business turns 55 this year, and we wouldn't have gotten this far without the love and support of our community. We're truly grateful and promise you that we'll continue to work hard to support you and your practice. Please visit meiwei.com to find the perfect Pumsar brand formula or formulate your own in our dispensary. Our site also has lots of articles, videos, and herbal recipes for you to explore. And tune into our podcast, Chinese Medicine Matters, for insightful discussions on all things TCM. Learn about treatment strategies and powerful herbal remedies. As we welcome the month of May, our focus is on women's health. Our newsletter articles and podcast episodes this month will highlight different aspects and unique challenges women face. So subscribe or tune in. And if you're a practitioner, get a discount on our women's health formulas this month. Just visit meiwei.com. This season and every season, trust Meiwei Herbs for your health and wellness needs. And thank you for supporting Real Chinese Medicine.
I love how technology can help to automate my office, and I want to share with you my favorite tool for doing so, Jane. Jane is a clinic management software in EMR with a human touch. Whether you're switching your software or going paperless for the first time, the Jane team knows that the onboarding process can feel a little overwhelming. That's why with Jane, you don't just get software, you get a whole team. Included in every Jane subscription is their award-winning customer support available by phone, email, and chat whenever you need it, even Saturdays. You can also book a free account setup consultation to review your account and ensure you feel confident about going live. If you're interested in making the switch to Jane, head to jane.app/switch to book a one-on-one demo with a member of their support team. And be sure to mention the code CHEOLOGICAL at the time of sign up for a one-month grace period on your new Jane account. I don't know about you, but sometimes I take a step back and marvel at my acupuncture needles. I mean, they're the world's simplest medical tool. A sharpened wire and a handle. That's it. And with this simple tool, hundreds of health conditions can be resolved. I love it. What I didn't love was the amount of packaging waste I generated at the end of the day. But that has now changed too. Ever since I switched to AccuFast Earth-Friendly Needles, I reduced my packaging waste by 90%. Not only are they a great needle, but the folks at AccuFast plant a tree for every two boxes of needles I use in the clinic. By switching to AccuFast Needles, you'll be helping patients, planting trees, and joining a community of practitioners changing the world. Like our simple needle, being a part of the solution, it's simple too. Visit AccuFastNeedles.com/geological to learn how. You can visit the show notes page for the pinyin on the primary formulas and herbs that we discuss here in this podcast. Now, let's get into finding out about a perspective that a group of doctors is using to help people sickened with this new cold, damp, toxic pathogen. Jin Zhao, great to talk to you, man. It's been a long time since we connected.
Yeah, it's a very good talk to you. Last time we met in Seattle, right?
Yeah, it was Seattle. It was probably 12 years ago.
Yes, 12.
So where are you located now? Where do you live? Where do you practice?
Now I'm living in Chengdu, and I taught the Chinese medicine course in the university. In Chengdu University of Traditional Chinese Medicine, I taught the history of the Chinese medicine and the different schools of the Chinese medicine. And I practiced in several clinics and treat the patient. And I treat the patient about the, I have eight shift a week.
One of the things that I wanted to talk with you a bit about is, of course, the big news that's in China right now, which is the coronavirus. And have you had some experience with this? I suspect people all over China are talking about it. Have you been treating this particular problem?
Yes. Now we call it an NCP, right? We treat a lot, and I'm in Chengdu, but I have friends in Wuhan. He's a Chinese medicine doctor, and then 12 days ago, and he sent a message for helping on the WeChat group and asked us if there's any good formula for the NCP, the patient. And he sent some pictures and then diagnosed in the group. And then I contact him, I discuss with him, and then we prescribe a formula and treat her and get very good results. And later on, and we had more and more the patient, and I gather two other Chinese medicine doctor. We, as a group that you treat the patient, now we treat about around 100 patients.
So are you going to Wuhan, or is it that you're consulting remotely, like with the internet and email and video chat, that kind of thing?
We cannot go into the Wuhan now. We have to treat them remotely, because as I said, there's a Chinese medicine doctor in Wuhan. He is Wuhan local people, so he can help the people, send them herbs and prescribe the formulas and the send the herbs to them. And also, when he gathers the information of the patients, all of the patients, he has to collect the information remotely, because he cannot contact the patient.
I see. Is Chinese medicine part of the government's effort to control this, or is this something that Chinese medicine doctors are just stepping up and doing on their own?
From the news, we know that the government just asked the Chinese medicine involved a lot, and they even now agreeing to, it's a law to just let the Chinese medicine involving this kind of disease, epidemic disease. So I think the government wants the Chinese medicine involved more. But at the first stage, all the patient go to the hospital, which is Western Medicine Hospital. Even they have the Chinese medicine doctor or Chinese medicine department, but they don't have the enough Chinese medicine doctor to treat them, or they don't find the way to treat so much patients. So in the beginning, the Chinese medicine not involved a lot. And later on, maybe before the Chinese New Year, the government just sent more and more Chinese medicine doctor to Wuhan to collect the information. And then now the Chinese medicine involved a lot in several ways. And even that, there's so much patient is just waiting on the line to can go into the inpatient department of the hospital. So they have to wait, and because there's even not so much position in the hospital because there's so much patient. And Wuhan and Hubei as one province cannot, or one city cannot hold so much patients. So they have to wait. Some of them just ask for the help from the Chinese medicine, and then we have opportunity to treat them. That's why we have the opportunity.
Yeah, well, because it's so big and there's so many people. And of course, Chinese medicine has its own role to play. I'm curious, Jinzhao, what are you seeing in terms of the symptomology with this particular illness? Are you looking at something that looks like some kind of a Shanghan, or is it a Wenbing, or is there a Qita de, like a Shangfa, some other kind of way that you guys are looking at this? What are you seeing when you see patients with the coronavirus? How are you thinking about treating it?
From this disease, it's very clear that actually it's just the in Chinese medicine we call that Wen Yi.
Wen Yi. So it's epidemic illness.
Yeah, epidemic illness. So actually, it is not Shanghan or cold damage, or it is also not a typical warm disease. It is epidemic illness. So if we want to treat this disease, we should understand the or have the knowledge about the Shanghan or the Wenbing. And meanwhile, we also could have the knowledge about the epidemic illness like Wen Yilun and even some other internal medicine, internal damage knowledge, like we also should understand the Li Dongyuan and the Wang Haogu, like that.
So you have this background, you have a very interesting background in that you've studied the history of Chinese medicine and you've studied the various schools of thought around Chinese medicine. So something like this comes along and you have all these resources and ways to think about it. So when you say that you can, it's helpful to know the Shanghan Lun, or it's helpful to have studied the Wenbing, what aspects of those are helpful in treating something like this, which is different?
Okay, so first of all, we should understand it's totally different from the Shanghan Lun because it is epidemic illness and it is Wen Yi. And the character of this disease, NCP, has a one aspect like it is not only cold. It's cold. It has a cold aspect, the sun, and also it has the most important, it has the dampness and the toxin. It belongs to damp toxin. So it's totally different from the Shanghan Lun or Shanghan, and also very different from the typical warm disease, Wenbing. So the help from the Shanghan Lun we can find is the treat protocol, the principle is not to give the cold herbs or too much cold and bitter herbs, taste herbs too early. That's when we can see the idea in the Shanghan Lun, and also it can help our treatments to seek the treatment principle. Qu Xie eliminates the evil as soon as possible. That's the second one for helping our treatment. So, but if we just only use the Shanghan Lun's formula, it is not work at all.
Hello everyone, Anne Cecil Sturman here. A working knowledge of the 8 extraordinary channels from the unbroken oral tradition of acupuncture is valuable beyond words. The power of these channels is tremendous if the practitioner has well integrated diagnostic, theoretical, and practical skill. You'll be familiar with Dumai, the governor channel or the Sea of Yang, the primal reservoir of Yang, which ultimately finances all movement and growth. But this channel also governs the ability to self-determine. The psycho-emotional presentation of your patients can be matched to a classical activation of this channel, clearing impedance in the free flow of yang qi to body, mind, and spirit. I'd like to share with you the marvelous potency of the Du channel in a full-length live treatment video from the seminar I taught last year in Melbourne, Australia. It's at annececilsturman.com/sinews2024. Click on the Jump to Free Teaching button or see the link on my Instagram page at Anne Cecil Sturman. Thanks, Michael. Back to you.
Right. So what are your main treatment principles in treating this particular Wenyi?
Okay, this particular Wenyi is very interesting. So we could to find some inspiration from two books. First one is Wu Youke's Wenyi Lun. Wu Youke in Ming Dynasty, in the end of the Ming Dynasty, he wrote the Wenyi Lun. And we can find the very good formula in that book. And another one is in Qin Dynasty, in the middle of the Qin Dynasty, same time actually, at the very same time with Ye Tian Shi. His name is Xu Xu, Xu Shen Bai. He wrote a book named The Thesis of the Damp Heat, Shi Le Bing Pian, wrote it by Xu Xu. Actually, he lives in the same city with Ye Tian Shi, and he also is very famous as same as Ye Tian Shi. So we use two formula as a basic formula. The first one is like Huo Pu Xia Ling Tang or Jia Jian Zhen Qi San.
Can you tell us what herbs are in those?
Actually, the most important herbs in that is Huo Xiang, Huo Pu, Ba Xia, Fu Ling.
So you really are going for that dampness, aren't you?
Yes. And also another formula, we use another formula as a basic formula. If the patient's condition need, we use that. That is Da Yuan Yin.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. Da Yuan Yin, but sometimes we didn't use the whole formula. We just use Cao Guo, Hou Pu, Bin Lang. Not use Huang Qin, Bai Shao, Zhi Mu.
Because those would be too
like half
cold.
Of the, yeah, those to be cold. Because, you know, this specific disease is just happened in the wintertime. And the weather is very cold and damp in the Wuhan. And we talked about that with the Wuhan's doctor, and he told us the Wuhan continuing got rain and very wet and cold for more than 15 days. So it's cold. The damp toxin was cold. The town we saw of the patient, almost of them, not all of them, are white, very greasy, and thick. So even the patient have the high fever, it is comes from the cold.
It comes from the damp
and
cold.
The dampness. Yes. So we cannot use too much cold bitter taste herbs. And Zhi Mu, Bai Shao, and Huang Qin is too strange. It will just lead the qi of the body get inside and close the pores of the body. So it is not good for help the body to express the evil. So we can, well, we don't use that. Maybe one or two patients we use Huang Qin, but almost the patient we don't use that.
So are these people's tongues also kind of big and puffy as well because of all the dampness?
Not really, because this is it is not internal damage or internal. It is the evil is also comes from the outside. It's exterior. It's not interior. So it will change very, very fast. The tongue also will change very, very fast. It's it just will combine with the body's constitution. Like some people has a qi deficiency, or some people with the yin deficiency, some people with a little bit of heat. So it's just a combined. It's not will change the body constitution in that very short time. So not all of the patients are puffy or like that. It's a depends on the patient's constitution.
Of course. I mean, this is one of the great things about Chinese medicine is we can look at the influence of an external evil and see that is separate from what a person's constitution is. And of course, we have to be attentive to a person's constitution. I really like this distinction here. The tongue is not necessarily puffy, but it's got this thick, damp coating, which is emblematic of this damp evil coming from the outside.
Oh, yes. And also, we also add some herbs to detoxing. Because the disease have these characters combined with toxin, the tongue, body sometimes will be a little bit red.
And that's the toxin. So,
yeah, it's toxin in the blood level. So we use a little bit, very, very low dosage detoxing herbs like yinhua, lianqiao, banlanggen, huzhang, guanzhong.
And when you say a small amount, are you talking, so that's like 3 grams or something like that, just a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, like a 3 gram, 5 gram, that's all. Because we have a statistics, we have the, you know, the charter and statistics. If my memory is correct, it's yes, we don't use a large dosage more than 10 grams. I think the maximum we use is just about 5 or 8.
Mm-hmm. So this is like, what about the Huoshang? It sounds like the Huoshang is a, you know, and the Binglang and the Huopo, these are really important herbs in this formula.
Oh yes, it's very important. And the Huoshang's dosage should be a little bit larger. Like we usually will use based on the patients, we will use like 15 grams, from 15 grams to 20 grams. And the binglang, because it's very strong, so we will use from 3 grams to 10 grams, and depends on the patient's constitution or their condition.
What are you seeing happen with people's digestion with this illness?
That's very typical digestive symptoms, like they don't want to eat, they don't have the appetite. Some of them have the nausea, some of them have vomits, and some of them have the diarrhea. It's very typical, actually, in the middle jaw.
Yeah, so the middle jaw gets disrupted because of the dampness.
Yes, because of the dampness, damp toxin.
Are there other formulas that you've heard that doctors are using, or all the doctors that you've been working with pretty much agree that what we're looking at here is a damp, toxic situation? Or are there other people that have different opinions?
In China, now, the official, I can say, the official treatment, they also focus on the dampness, but it seems like we have two opinion. One is cold damp, another is damp heat. So the formula a little bit different. And I think it is because the two groups of the Chinese medical doctor observing the two different category of the patient. Like one group is just stay in the cold dampness, and another observe that it will turn to heat. And in our treatments of the patient, we also notice that these disease can turn to heat or get the dryness combined with dryness very quickly.
Well, of course, most illnesses that come from the outside will change. They come in one way, and then the, you know, depending on how strong or weak the body is, they'll shift into something else. That's not uncommon. So what you're seeing is that sometimes it will go more into the damp side, and other times it'll go more into the toxin and the heat side.
Yes, exactly. But in my opinion, no matter whether the heat it goes or the cold it stays, the most important we should focus on is dampness. Damp taste, damp toxin is priority.
Given the kind of illness this is, and in the way that it could get spread, are there ways that you think people could protect themselves from it? Or are there some herbs that people could take in a way to help prevent catching this thing?
Okay, to prevent and protect ourselves, the first important thing is just this. Now in China, as we said, stay in home.
Yeah, stay away from it, right?
Yeah, stay away from your friends, stay away from the strange people. Okay, so in Chinese medicine, we see how we can get the disease. Because the first, the one aspect is our correct qi is deficiency. Another aspect is evil is too strong, right? So if we want to protect ourselves or prevent, so we can do it on both sides. The first side, we just stay away from the evil qi, right? So that's why the government asks us to stay home as good as possible. In Wuhan, I heard of them. They just can go out of their blocks one time in 2 or 3 days. And now we can go out from our complex or block just one time a day. So that's for protect the whole people, just away from the risk, I think. That's a good way, very good way. And also, of course, the masks, very necessary. And another is how we can strengthen our correct qi. In my opinion, actually, there's no one formula for all of the people, because our Chinese medicine is always focused on the detail. We could make the categories for those patients, who is qi deficiency, who is yin deficiency, who is yang deficiency, who has a little bit of damp heat, or who is cold damp, who is like just maybe the cold. So if we just make the constitution, make them into a different category, and then the people can select the different formula to actually adjust their yin and yang in the body, make the yin and yang back and make the harmony, and then strengthen our qi, and it can protect ourselves and prevent the disease.
Yeah, I mean, that makes so much sense. And really, this is like the basics of Chinese medicine that I think we all learn, you know, in probably the first couple months of school, is that everybody's different. Some people have more yin deficiency, others have more yang deficiency, some are qi deficient. And so, you know, there is no one formula that helps everybody. Everybody has certain weaknesses or certain strengths, and the formulas that we take to adjust our constitution should match who we are. So, I mean, this is the beauty of Chinese medicine, is that it is so customized. And this is also the difficult thing about Chinese medicine, because one size does not fit all. You can't just go buy one thing and say, I'm going to be more healthy. So you kind of have to know who you are and what's good for you.
Oh, yes. Yes, that exactly. So that's very difficult. So that's why I say it. Actually, there's no, how can I say, the formula for everybody that to prevent that. But the most important for us is to keep our mood smoothly, and then just have the good the rest, and eat well, and not too much cold or greasy food, and make your like the middle jaw as function, keeping the normal level, right? Keep that work very well, and then also can strengthen our qi and keep our the body's function in a normal way. So, and then we'll prevent this disease.
That makes a lot of sense. In the people that you've been treating where you have seen some success and they've recovered, how long does it usually take to recover from this?
That is totally different from Shanghan and worm disease. For Shanghan, but the typical Shanghan or typical worm disease, if we treat at the beginning, it could have a very extraordinary success, like, okay, just 1 day or 2 days, everything just gone. And we have a very successful treatment. But for this disease, it is not going to happen because it was toxin. I think the average time is about around 10 days. So it is not like a Shanghan. Okay, even you don't, if your body is very healthy and you got Shanghan, the cold damage, or you got cold, even you don't treat it, and it will just maybe recover it by itself in 7 days, right? But in this disease, it cannot be cured by yourself in that short time.
So it really takes more time to resolve this disease, and it also takes more treatment. It takes more than the body's own Wei Qi and Zheng Qi. You really need some outside help from herbs.
And also, we cannot say, like, okay, if the patient got a fever, we cannot say it be cured after the temperature going down to the normal, because the patient will still have the damp toxin in the body.
When you go to take this damp toxin out, so partly you're using detoxifying herbs, lian chao, junhua, banlanggen, huzhang.
Banlanggen, guanzong. We'll select one or two of them in different level, in different patient.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you sometimes change it up with people, that maybe the first couple formulas you use two of them, and then in the other formulas you might switch in some of the others?
Yes, because in different stage, in patient in different constitution, the herbs we should follow their condition. Not solely, okay, I always use the yinhua lianqiao, not like that.
In recent years, the Siam acupuncture style has generated significant interest and a loyal and growing following. In the Siam approach, a precise diagnosis leads to a four-needle treatment to address the five element and six qi imbalances in the body. The four needles target the controlling and generating cycles. It's common using this method for the needle sensation to be stronger than in many other styles. Thus, the choice of needle becomes important. The Unico brand of needles lends itself to both strong and gentle techniques. These superior needles are made of uncoated Japanese surgical stainless steel and feature the best guide tube on the market with its unique beveled edge. Additionally, Unico needles have a tensile property that helps with freehanding needles into Jingwell points and allows you to more easily feel the arrival of qi. Blue Poppy is the exclusive importer and distributor of Unico needles. Use the code QI2024 to save 10% off Unico needles at www.bluepoppy.com. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, well, this is why it takes so long to get good at doing Chinese herbal medicine. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, we have to see so many patients and gain so much experience.
Yes, because the like yinhua and the lianqiao, the level it can treat of in the body is very shallow. And if in the blood level, maybe we should use banlanggen. And in if that's with the damp heat in the taiyin or shaoyang, and then turn to heat, and we will use like a huzhang. If that is a toxin in the whole body, maybe we'll all of the level, maybe we'll add a little bit of guanzhong inside. So it's totally different. Even some of the same thing is different, we'll use a different one. Like if the patient got the diarrhea, even if the patient got the constipation, and even for the diarrhea, we'll ask the feeling of the diarrhea, like if after bowel movements, he feel better or not better, and even for that, we'll use a different herbs. So that is very different from the Western medicine, and also that is the I think it's the most interesting thing in Chinese medicine, and it's also amazing.
Yes. Oh, agreed. Now, because it can change so quickly, When you give herbs to a patient for this, are you giving one day, 2 days, and then seeing them again, or do you give 3 days? I mean, it sounds like you would want to see patients fairly regularly to see how they're responding to the herbs and what kind of changes you might need to make.
Yes, so for this disease in ancient time, ancient books, the Chinese medicine books, for treat the disease, the doctor said sometimes will change the formula in a day, will change the formula several times in a day. So we will not give the formula for really long time, like 1 week. Even we have to treat them remotely. So we just even there's a lot of the difficult to get herbs, but we still give the patient like 2 days or even sometimes 1 day, because it will change a lot. And
Then your herbs have to change.
the herbs we have to change. Like some maybe the last day the patient got very severe symptom, like with high fever or chilling or diarrhea. And after we use herbs and it changed a lot, and then we might need not change all the herbs, we might need just revise our dosage.
Anything else that you would like to share with us about treating this Wen-E disease that is so prevalent in China right now?
So for treating this disease, first we should know that the reason of the disease comes from outside, is an exterior. It is a damp toxin. It is not just Shanghan and or not just the worm disease. So we should focus on the dampness, and based on dampness, and we should know the difficulty to treat them. And it's the damp toxin go very, very deep. It will go to the Sanjiao and Muyuan.
Muyuan. I'm not familiar with
the
Muyuan.
Muyuan.
Muyuan is some ease.
Muyuan.
Oh, Muyuan. That's like connective tissue.
Yes, it's just something like a connective tissue. It's very, very deep and in the body, and then so the evil will hide in very, very deep level in the body. So when we treat them, it will take a little bit long time. Now we will not just see one symptom, it's a release or not. We should see the whole body's feedback, their responding and their condition. Tongue sign and the coating is the most important. If the coating is still greasy and thick, actually it's the more thick, the more greasy, the more severe.
And so even though someone's fever may not be high, if they have that tongue coating, then they're not well yet.
Yes. One case we have in the WeChat group, some other doctors send one case to us, and the patient in the inpatient department and actually ICU, patient got very, very shortness of the breath, high fever, and then a cough, clear phlegm with a little bit of bleeding. And his tongue was a little bit of peeling and a little bit greasy. And the doctor just prescribed herbs, not focus on the resolve the dampness, to eliminate the dampness. And they use I heard it's something like a Shen Mai Yin with the Qianjin, no, Qingzao Jiu Hui Tang and Qianjin Wei Jin Tang.
Tianjin Wei Jin Tang. So what, I'm not familiar. What's in that prescription?
Qianjin Wei Jin Tang.
Mm-hmm.
冬瓜仁、薏仁、桃仁。Blood moving, and also to drainage the dampness, the yiren, dongguaren. But they use some ejiao and shigao, and blocks the patient's qi.
Oh, yeah, the shergao would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, this reminds me a little bit. You read the Shanghan Lun and you read about how so often a formula is given because the patient was not treated correctly in the first place.
Now that here, the Shanghai can enlighten us like that. If the, even the patient got the a lot of the very severe syndrome, the most important thing is to make our body porous to open and to exchange the materials of the life regularly. That's why I said in the beginning, we cannot use the very cold, bitter taste herbs because it will just lead our qi going down and close the porous. It's just like a close the door. Now we should open the door. We just don't use like a ma huang or guizi to open it. We use like a huo xiang or peilan or other herbs can resolve the dampness.
Because you're really looking to get something that's aromatic.
And we'll just aromatic herbs.
Outward.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also we also use a little bit acrid herbs like qiang huo, bai zi, fang feng shu ye, like that, to open the porous. But we don't use like a ma huang because it's too strong. Even sometimes you cannot open the porous, but it's the body turn too heat because ma huang is too and too hot. Yes. And oh, okay, back to that case. And the patient, just the temperature just going down to normal very quickly, just one day. I feel okay. Because I think this, the treatment is not very, how can I say, the principle of the treatment, I'm not agree with it. But I say, okay, that effect, that's good. Maybe I need revise my, you know, my idea. And later on, very dramatic things is the patient's, the coating, the tongue coating, just get very, very thick and puffy. The tongue is very puffy and the coating is very thick and greasy. And 2 days later, the patient almost died.
Right. So they resolved the heat, but the dampness was too overwhelming.
Yes. And yes. And then the hospital, the patient just got the hu xi shuai jie.
Right. Put him on, like, cannot breathe at all.
Yeah, they put them on the machine to use a machine to just rescue him. So from this case, we can see now there's the damp toxin just overwhelming and just gathered more. And actually, it's closed all the pores, blocked all the pathway in our body. And then the patient
then
gets
no
the difficult. Yeah, there's no way out.
No
so
way out.
To treat this disease, the most important, why we see that's the most important thing we should focus on, the dampness. It's not just a cold or heat, it's dampness. It's like just a traffic jam. Like
you need to open up the pores of the body. You need to release the exterior.
Yeah.
But not with the really acrid herbs so much as with the aromatic dispersing herbs.
Yes, one is acrid, but because it's a different, like the acrid herbs like ma huang guizi, qiang huo, bai zhu, it's like that. It's like the all exits are closed by cold. So now we use like acrid herbs, warm herbs like a huo xiang and a peilan, like these herbs. It also can like open the exits.
I so appreciate any Chou Jian Shi Jian Gong with Jiang. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. You know, we've been very curious over here in the States about how this is being treated, and I'm sure that the people listening to this are going to very much appreciate your ideas. And, you know, if we run into this, it'll give us hopefully some ideas for treating patients should we run into them. So thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, you're welcome. And oh, one more thing I want to say is, because almost the patient we treat is combined with Western medicine, like antibiotics or antivirus, or sometimes with some patient with IV. So it also will just get the dampness worse. And sometimes it's just will get the middle jaw worse.
So really focus on that middle jaw too. Be sure to pay attention to it.
yeah, pay attention to the middle jaw. And also we need, how can I say, just make the, when we prescribe herbs, we should think about the Western medicine's the side of effect. It's just too much cold, too much, just to get the depth is more. But also, in my opinion and in my experience, is a little bit faster. It's a little bit shorter than combined with Western medicine. If that's a patient got a very severe need, the Western medicine's machine, they can use machines. Sometimes, you know, like in the ICU, in the inpatient, like we will not just refuse the Western medicine's treatment.
I mean, it's a really good point that we have to take into account the Western medicines and the effect that it's,
yes,
it's having on our patients. Yeah, that's, thank you,
yes,
so much.
Yes, that's very important.
Okay.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks as always for listening. If you liked this conversation, if you learned something new or found a moment of inspired insight, share the episode with your friends. If you want to support Geological, there's just one way to do that. It's by going to the website and becoming a member or leaving a one-time contribution today. Well, folks, that's it for today. Join us again next Tuesday for another conversation that connects up the voices of our community.